This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Going to be a fun day.
You're a fun day.
Thank you. Don't forget, we will give away tickets to Pitbull in the noon o'clock hour and the return of Coach Ballsack. But our question right now is, what will the production behind Luka be against the Warriors? What does it need to be? 877-881-1053. You want to get involved in the conversation, truckwreck.com text line. Or Twolos, if you're involved in our Twitch and watching on the fan cam, appreciate that as well. This is kind of going off the assumption of Luka's great. We know he's great. You have a general idea for what kind of stats that he can put up. But like, that alone does not dictate, as you saw against Phoenix, the winner and loser of these games. So, what are you expecting? What do you need to get from the rest of the group?
So, I put last night, you know, how excited I am about this. And just, I want to reiterate this, is because the national people really aren't talking about this, is Lucas torched everybody. Not every playoff game, but for the most part, we've had the best defenders in the NBA guard him.
Right.
And they can't stop him one-on-one. Now, what the Clippers did, which Utah decided not to do, and maybe because it was, he didn't even play the first three games of the series, and Phoenix really didn't decide to do either, is when they come up to set a pick, we're going to have two guys guard Luka. Luka usually backs the ball back towards half court to make those two guys get further away from the basket, then makes a good decision and a good pass to either a wing or a guy standing around the free throw line or the top of the key. And then you play 4-on-3 basketball. That's what the Clippers did last year to beat the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks were hot. Tim Hardaway Jr. was hitting shots, but Luka was torching them. And they said, screw it. I was right behind Ty Lue's bench in game 6. And he said, we're not going to do this anymore and let Luka, as Jason Kidd says now, explore. We are going to get the ball out of his hands, and we're going to make KP and Tim Hardaway Jr. and Maxi Kleba and Dorian Finney-Smith beat us with three defenders. We're going to play three defenders versus those four guys, and we're going to bet we win. And if we lose, we lose it that way. And Phoenix didn't ever really do that. Now, maybe because there wasn't a close game. Maybe Phoenix was waiting for, in the last 5 minutes of a game that's within 5 points, we will then have that happen. But because every game was pretty much a double-digit game with 5 minutes to go, they never deployed that defense. So will Golden State, for the first time in the playoffs, somewhat against the Dallas Mavericks, deploy the we're going to double team? Last time it happened was Utah did do it, and Dinwiddie had to take a three-pointer against Gobert, and it was a miss, and they won the game. If you guys remember that, yeah, that one play. But what the Clippers did was they deployed that defense midway through the third quarter of game 6 in Dallas, and then deployed that later in the game in game 7 against the Dallas Mavericks.
Do you have a low-key concern, I guess, about like games 2, game 4 for the Warriors? They were ultra competitive with Memphis. While the Mavericks, I know they didn't just cruise through that series against the Suns, but like you said, none of those games were competitive in crunch time. Is that any part of a concern that you do have like a bit of a, I guess, crunch time lull, I guess?
Yes and no. So I get that we haven't played in a whole, since game 6 against Utah, you have not played in what you'd consider the last 2 minutes kind of basketball where each possession is critical.
Yeah.
But in one way, for game 5, 6, and 7, the Mavericks didn't have to play 45 minutes of their starting players because we were either getting destroyed in game 5 and we gave up with 6, 7 minutes to go. So it's like, hey, save your legs for game six because this is over. And then in game six, then you start beating them so much, I don't know, with 4 or 5 minutes to go, you're not having to play those extra crucial, you know, you better hustle here because you can't give up a fast break basket because you're upset with the refs or something like that. So yes and no. I just wonder, I'm not saying the Mavericks are well rested. Everybody's tired right now. You know, everybody's played 10 to 14 playoff games, whether it's in the Eastern Conference or Western Conference. Everybody's a little bit beat up right now, but you didn't also, in a positive way, have to play any clutch minutes to really maybe be really tired coming into this. The way that Boston last night, right? Marcus Smart and Al Horford couldn't even play.
Yeah.
Like, we can't even play. We're so tired and physically beat from playing Milwaukee. Those seven somewhat close games, I get that they blew them out in game seven, but we can't physically start game one. The Mavericks are going into this going, hey, yes, we're not perfectly healthy. Neither is Golden State, but we're okay. We're ready to go. We don't have people sitting out who played game seven because they're physically beat up.
How much will this change? I don't know if change the perception of the series is right, since you guys have the Mavericks winning in five and six respectively, and I'm saying they'll take it in seven. If Spencer Dinwiddie is not just a game six and seven player, I know we had joked about that going back to Utah. Yeah.
It absolutely changes everything. If he's the confident shooter that he was in that game.
Let's say he's in game one, what he was in game seven, or like even 80% of game seven.
Mike, what happens is when Luka steps off the court, now you have, is it 4 minutes, 6 minutes of potential scoring production instead of him just dribbling for 30 seconds and hoisting a shot up. You have some, if he can give you that, you have an extra shooter and you have a guy that can control the ball that allows Luka and Jalen to get a little bit of rest and to do the things that they do well. So if Spencer Dinwiddie's on his game in game one, you're stealing game one, man. You're walking out of that arena because you know what you're going to get from Luka. Like, you know you're going to get a certain production from him. Hopefully, you know, some of your other shooters show up too. And I think at this point now, I'm pretty confident in what I'm getting from Jalen. So, like, all the only question mark for me is which Dinwiddie is going to show up. And I think it's going to, if it's the one that we saw in game seven, or in game seven, it's, I mean, that's chalk right there.
You know, it's going to be interesting here, too, with those guys, Dinwiddie and Brunson, who I think that those are the guys that probably we're hoping step up the most. They're our second and third best offensive weapons. Is you don't have rim protectors for the Golden State Warriors. For that's the first true. Time in this in the playoffs, Rudy Gobert, if he's around the basket, or Hassan Whiteside, or DeAndre Ayton, or JaVale McGee, or even Bismack Biyombo, who had at moments, you know, late in the series, times where he protected the rim. They don't have rim protectors. Kevon Looney, a little, but not much, right? I mean, he doesn't really compare to what we've had to go through. So Dinwiddie's best game is usually when he's able to take the ball to the basket. It's not really shooting three-pointers. It's never really been his game. I know that the Mavericks deploy more of a three-point shooting offense, so Dinwiddie has had to try to fit in a little bit more with, like, hey, we want you to take more threes. We believe you're going to make it. But he's a guy that when he gets to the basket, he doesn't have explosiveness anymore. The injury took away a lot of his leaping ability. Not that he was Jordan going to the basket, but it's a little bit less. He lays the ball up a little bit more than he did in Brooklyn, where he could go up and finish it with a dunk. But now, if Draymond Green is possibly waiting there, I get Draymond tries to defend the basket, kind of like Maxi Kleba. I wouldn't consider Maxi Kleba a huge threat, but Maxi Kleba can get some block shots. Same thing with Draymond Green. He can get some block shots, but it's not really a threat of, crap, I'm going to stop the way Rudy Gobert's there. I'm going to stop. And now I'm going to kick it out because there's no way I can really make this over him. That's not the case anymore. So I think Jalen Brunson and Dinwiddie can have big series here in that they don't have to hit so many three-pointers, is that they might be getting more easy twos than they've got so far in the playoffs.
Yeah, the idea of the Mavericks being like a I know you're not saying they're going to set up in the post or anything right. like that, but the idea that they'll be getting more internal baskets and rebounds is wild given how the last two series went. But I think you're on to something because clearly Golden State won't size you to death.
I'm concerned, though, if Looney shows up like he did in Game 7. I mean, he had 22 rebounds there. Like, if he shows up, he had 11 rebounds by the time Draymond Green got out of the game. And so I'm kind of concerned if that we might not have that advantage that we think we have.
And something to watch on that front is I was looking at, you know, in the crosstalk when Sean was talking about Redick looking at some of the next-gen stats. I was looking at some of the next-gen stats as well. It feels counterintuitive, but Golden State in the playoffs has been far more efficient with Looney on the court as opposed to when Poole is on the court. Yeah. Like I know that Poole like looks like the better player, but it was just looking at some of the efficiency numbers. And so I was kind of curious to Corey's point, if you'll see like a scaled down version of Poole compared to how he started the playoffs.
You might have to, if we keep setting picks where we bring Poole up to guard Luka, which the Mavericks are going to do. Mm-hmm. The Mavericks are going to be like, dude, you might be a worse defender than Curry. The way that sometimes people pick on Luka, and they should, right? The Warriors are going to try to pick on Luka and make him play both sides of the court and make him try to stay in front of some of their better players. The Mavs are going to have to try to do a decent job of not allowing that. The one thing, Corey, that you have to understand about Kevon Looney's yeah. 22 rebound game, Steven Adams wasn't playing early on in the series.
Mm-hmm.
So then once...
He knew he was going to have to be active.
No. Listen to me.
Okay.
Steven Adams hangs around the basket. Steven Adams is no threat outside of 7 feet from the basket. So when you have a big guy who's able to hang around the basket, this is where I guess I was worried about Rudy Gobert, but it didn't end up being this way. Rudy Gobert can average 20 rebounds a game if you allow him to hang around the basket. What the Mavericks did is they pulled him out. Kevon Looney is going to have to get pulled out. When you look at the rest of the series and you look at what he's done against the Mavericks this year, in the other games, he had 6, 4, 3, 9, and 5 rebounds against Memphis. Now, if you let him hang around the basket, Kevon Looney, he can get you 10-plus rebounds. The Mavericks don't let. They have experience, and this guy's not nearly as good as Rudy Gobert and DeAndre Ayton. They're not going to usually let him hang around the basket to rip down 22 rebounds. If they didn't let Rudy Gobert do it and they didn't let DeAndre Ayton do it, it's going to be, for me, difficult to see how Looney's going to take that one historic game in his life.
Right.
Because remember, Moses Brown did this for Oklahoma City.
I knew Moses Brown was going to come up in this part of the conversation.
Kevon Looney's way better than Moses Brown, just like Ayton and Rudy Gobert are way better than Kevon Looney. But, hey, we could get out-rebounded in the series. We could get out-rebounded tonight. But I don't expect Kevon Looney to get a lot of rebounds because if we're not picking on Curry and Poole to have to guard some of our better players like Luka, like Brunson, like Dinwiddie, we're going to pull Kevon Looney out like we do other big guys and make him have to guard some of our guards.
And I know all of the, and I certainly understand why, of the focus around here is on the Western Conference Finals. Did you guys take the opportunity to enjoy game one of the Eastern Conference Finals last night? And do you view this series, like usually we're just like, hey, we're watching because I like basketball. But do you view this series differently now because you're like, here's who I think would be the better matchup for the Mavericks, and thus you have a more vested rooting interest in this series?
It's funny. I didn't know who I was going to root for, and I was rooting for Boston. And I was with my son last night at the baseball game, and we had the basketball game on my computer, so we were watching both. And he said, why are you rooting for Boston? And I said, I don't know. I guess I still just don't like the Heat. So right. I was like, I get Dwayne Wade isn't there anymore, but there's just a part of me, not that I'm a huge Boston fan, but I'm just like, I don't want the Heat to have success. I don't know what it is, but I don't know what the better matchup is. I'll say this. They're both great teams. We're down to the final four. There's not a crap team left when you get to this point. Is I look at it and I go, man, Miami plays so freaking physical that I look at it and I go, maybe the better matchup is Boston. And Luke has done so many magical things against Boston that with P.J. Tucker and Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, I mean, they are very physical. And I'm naming kind of their three very physical players. I know you weren't here, Kevin, the day that Jimmy Butler went off during that game and old guy for Florida Gators. He is Haslam. Udonis Haslam. Right? They tried to fight each other. Corey and I were doing that show today.
And we talked about it.
And I said, I think this is good that it happened. I remember you came in the next day and we're like, I'm not sure that was good as happened and it could be the downfall. I said,
yeah,
it's good that these things happen because people don't understand this because it usually doesn't happen in a dugout. It usually doesn't happen. It does sometimes on a basketball court. It usually happens where guys get in real fights in the clubhouse, in the locker room. It doesn't happen a lot, but when it does, when does it happen and is it fixable? And I thought, the best thing that could happen if there was a little bit of tension with Jimmy Butler and the coach or Jimmy Butler and certain players is it happened before the playoffs so they could have a meeting about coming together. And it looks like, honestly, that rift, that public fight that Jimmy wanted to get into with Eric Spoelstra ended up bringing them together and becoming more of a team or more of a, you know, you call it sometimes a family type of situation.
It galvanized
them. They have really been, like Corey just said, galvanized in that situation. Now, I don't know if Miami's, it's one game. Like, if Mavericks lose tonight, I'm not going to be like, oh no. Now, look, I'll be disappointed. You'll probably hear me go, I'm not
Will you not,
work.
Mike? I don't know. We've ridden this roller coaster with you.
But I'm not looking at the Boston with no emotion in that. I'm not going, oh, that series is over. Miami's better. That's one game. It'll be interesting tonight to see what happens. I can't imagine. I know people are picking Mavs in five or Golden State in five. I just can't imagine this thing only being a 4-1 series either way.
Right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.